Alrighty then. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 3. And what I wanted to look at this morning was life choices. Everyone has to make them from time to time. And it's good to know that God is available to help us. Those of us who are really endeavoring to do God's will. And first I want to look at what it says in verse 13. Because it describes the great value of God's wisdom, which is what's needed when making important life choices. Verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it," of wisdom, means what you can get with it, what it's worth, "is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." You know, gold and silver and rubies are things that a lot of people consider of tremendously high value, and a lot of people spend all their life going after money, right? That's a life choice that someone might make. That I want to be wealthy, you know, and that's what I'm going after, and everything else is secondary to that goal. Other people might have their life choice be something different. But it says that wisdom is more valuable than those things, and the man that finds wisdom is going to be a happy man, going to be a blessed man. And you generally find something when you're looking for it. Mm. It's not the man who stumbles across wisdom, but the man who intentionally looks for it, because Jesus Christ said, "Seek and ye shall what?
Find."
So if a man found wisdom, it implies that he was seeking for it. Now, this happiness of finding wisdom is really having God let you know what to do. What to do and when to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? How great is it to have God himself, the creator of all things, who knows everything, right? He knows what's going on. He knows you inside and out. He knows what your needs are. He knows where the things are that will supply your need, if it's material things. He knows what encouragement you might need. He knows what guidance you might need. To have him direct your paths, well, that's great. The starting point of this little discussion here is in verse 1, where it addresses my son. You know, starts off with an address. So before we get to the happiness of finding wisdom, let's see where it starts. It says, "My son, forget not what?
No.
Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." So to have God be able to speak in your ear and tell you what to do and when to do it and how to do it and all the particulars, first of all, keep his written word. Before you ask God what to do in your individual circumstance, first find out what God wants everyone to do in all circumstances. The commandments. You see? Let thine heart keep my commandments, the things that God has told everyone to do all the time. If you're doing what everyone is supposed to do all the time, then it's easy to get the particulars in what you're supposed to do at this time. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee, just by keeping the commandments of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The things that God has already revealed, already written, write them on the table of your heart. It means memorize them. Commit them to memory. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man too. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It means don't just do what you feel like. Don't just make your decisions based on, you know, your own personal desires if they would happen to be contrary to God's will, you see. If your will and God's will match up, then you're fine. But if there's a difference between what you want to do and what you see God wants you to do, then which way are you going to go? You know, some people will decide, well, I want to go my way. I want what I want. And I would like God to help me. He might not, you know. He might not be able to help you if you're endeavoring to do something against his will. But if you're endeavoring to do his will, then it's very easy for God to guide you, right? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he what? He shall direct thy paths. That means he'll make your paths straight. He'll guide you in the right, straight way. Be not wise in thine own eyes, verse 7. Don't be a Weisenheimer. Don't be a wise guy when you're thinking you're so smart, especially if, you know, if you see what the Word of God says and say, I've got a better idea. You know, that's the way that the adversary went. It started out as one of God's key people and then decided he had better ideas. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. So if you're already in the evil, what do? Depart from it. It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You'll be healthier physically off if you depart from evil and walk in the right way. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It doesn't mean everyone has to be a farmer necessarily, right? But whatever you do, whatever your occupation, whatever your profession, honor God with your substance. Be thankful to God and honor him with what you produce. Verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So if you're reproved by the word of God, because it's the chastening of the Lord, right? If God is reproving you by way of his word, then don't despise that. Don't think less of it. Don't say, I just will avoid those parts of the Bible that make me feel bad. No, accept it. Verse 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father and the son in whom he delighteth. If a father sees his son going in the wrong way, and he loves his son, what's he going to do? He's going to correct him, right? Because he loves him. Then happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You see, it builds on those things. Keeping the commandments of God, honoring God, considering God's way a better way than your own way, receiving reproof and correction if it's due. Then happy is the man that findeth wisdom. If you go back to chapter 2, you know, chapter 3 assumes you've read chapter 2, right? So let's see what chapter 2 has to say. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. This is where it all starts. You know, it's not just magic happening in your life. You know, it's not just good luck that we're going after, great things happening. It starts with words. Right? The words of God that need to be heard or read, understood, studied. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So this doesn't describe a person who is, you know, constantly being yelled at and forced to listen. It's talking about a person who really wants to know, a person who desires the words of God, a person who, you know, is not even just curious, but says, this is what I want to feed on. This is what I want to commit my life to. This is the information I want to fill myself with. It's not what I'm going after. You see? When you meet someone like that, it's easy to work with them. Right? Sometimes it's difficult to convince someone that God's way is the right way to go. Because some people don't even believe God exists at all. Some people don't think that, you know, that the Bible is relevant. But for those that do, that want to know the Word of God, those people are easy to teach. You know? Thinking of like your son Jesse, when he, there was a time where he seemed a little standoffish, but then there was a time where, this is really true. I should learn this. And he used, you know, to come over, we'd have study nights once a week, and he would stay after, and we'd, for another couple hours, he'd be asking questions because he'd really want to know. And he has that kind of heart, and it's great to see that in people that really want it. Yeah, Phil's like that too. And remember when Patty really wanted to, you know, we did study nights at your house, and she really wanted to dig into it and get it. And it's great. And so you want to, you know, help a person at that time. If someone's not there, then they need encouragement. They need to see the goodness of God. But when they're ready and their heart's open, then they're ready to be filled. Yeah. Verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver of something of great value, searchest for her as for hid treasures. I was reading the book The Syrian Christ, and about a guy that grew up in the Middle East, and he said in Syria, in that land in the Middle East, he said people grew up believing that there were treasures hidden in the ground. And occasionally someone would find treasures hidden in the ground that had been there for a long time. And he said the reason why, there were a lot of wars in that area. And when they would fight a war, they wouldn't just make a truce, they would just wipe everybody out. They would wipe out the enemy, and then they would take all their stuff. So before the battle started, a lot of people would take their valuables and they would bury them in the ground so the enemy wouldn't find them. And they figure, if we win, I'll dig up my stuff and I'll still have my stuff. If we lose, the enemy won't be able to get my stuff because it'll be hidden. So there's places where just there's stuff hidden in the ground. So people would get wind that there's a treasure hidden somewhere, and they would search for it and dig for it, like Treasure Island. Or there was a map where the treasure was buried, and they would sail across the sea and find the place and do whatever it takes to dig it up. I read in the news just in October, in I think it was in England, someone found treasure that was hidden by Vikings hundreds of years ago. Mm. Gold and silver stuff. You know, and so it was in a farmer's field, just buried in the ground. And so this guy was an amateur archaeologist, and he found the stuff. So he took it to the museum, and I think the value of it was split between the farmer who owned the field and the guy that found it in the field. So anyway, if you know if something's of great value, there's an effort to uncover it and find out what it is. If you search the Word like that, with the same enthusiasm of someone that's looking for actual buried treasure, it says the result of that effort in verse 5 is, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So if the Lord gives wisdom and understanding comes out of his mouth, the same God that had the written word revealed is the one who's going to tell you the things that you need to know that will be of such great value in making your life choices and helping you in your decisions in life. Now, there's a contrast that it talks about down the road. Let's pick it up in verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. It'll protect you. God can protect you not just by, you know, physically fighting against your enemies, but telling you what to do. That can be the protection many times. Mm-hmm. Don't go there, go here. Don't do that, do this. You see? Don't make that choice, make this choice. That kind of understanding and discretion will protect you. Verse 12 says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man who speaketh froward things, who says things that are froward, you know, means against God's will, things that are wrong, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So there are different ways a man can go, right? But the light is only shining in the right path. The other ways are ways of darkness. So a person can make his way through the darkness, but it's going to be without the help of God. Because generally, God's not going to help a person to do the wrong thing, is he? So if you're on the right path, which is made very plain in the written word, and that path can, you know, it covers a lot of area. Because God doesn't limit the path to a certain career choice, does he? You know, persons who's an engineer or a teacher or drives a truck or does HVAC or anything, they can all be doing the will of God, right? Because it's all honest work. But in the job that you have, you need specific wisdom sometimes, right? We've heard a lot of stories of, you know, God, it's broken, you know, we don't know why it's broken, it doesn't work, and you'd let me know, and God says, look over here, and there's the part that needs to be replaced. Or, you know, as an engineer, you have to figure out how to make something work, right? You know, driving a truck, you need to know which way to go. You know, how to maneuver that thing. If you're helping a person, an individual person, God can work in you to let you know what's going to help that person on this particular day. Right? If you're counseling kids, I just can't imagine all the problems that people come up with that you have to deal with. You know, and how valuable is that wisdom of God to know, well, what's going to help this person? Because you can't always do it by the book. You know, now, you might have to follow a set of rules because you're within the parameter of what's allowable and what's not allowable on your job. But within those parameters, there's still a lot of individual choices to make. You see? And walking with God is like that. Let's go to chapter 21 of Proverbs. And this is, you know, this is for us individually, plus for the people that might want to come to us for help at times. Chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 30, it just makes this statement. It says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You know, someone might come to you with a problem and ask you for help, but then you have to ask, is what the person is trying to do within the will of God? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago someone came to me with a problem and it had to do with, you know, a problem with sex with someone that this person wasn't married to. And I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this from the Word of God. There just was nothing I could tell him that would help him because the situation itself wasn't within the will of God. Right? So there's no counsel, there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Say, if a man's trying to rob a bank, and he's asking, praying to God to help him, you know, how can I do this and get away with it? You know, or someone's trying to commit insurance fraud, you know, what lie should I use? You know, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. See, first do what God's telling everybody to do, and then ask him for the specifics. Now, will God say, if God is approached by someone to ask for help, you know, and they're off the word to begin with, that he might still get help from God, but it's not going to be to accomplish the thing that he's asking him for. Right? God might tell him, look, first you have to change your whole life. You have to change your goal. You know, if a man's walking in darkness, it doesn't matter how fast he's going in the wrong direction. It's not going to help him to get there. Because, talks about paths that lead to death. Well, how fast do you want to get there? Yeah? 1 John chapter 3, just as a reminder of what the commandment is to us. You know, it says, forsake not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. Well, that was written under the time of the law. Today, here's what the commandment of God is to us. In chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 23, it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So first of all, you know, believe in the right way concerning Jesus Christ. Understand what the word says about him, about, you know, him being the Lord, him being the Son of God, him being the Messiah, and love one another. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You know? Say, if someone decides to pursue a homosexual relationship, can God help a person in that relationship? The help would be get out of that relationship, right? That would be the help. To love one another as he gave us commandment, in the way that God says to love one another. That's how God can give that help. You know, we all know 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? God will instruct people in the right ways, according to the right way of believing. That's what doctrine is, how to believe, teaching how to believe in the right way. Reproof is where you're not believing in the right way, and correction is how to get back to the right way of believing. Here in 1 John 3, we just read verse 23. Look at 21 and 22. It says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if someone's breaking the commandments of God, if someone is going in an opposite direction from what God says to go, might have trouble receiving answers to prayers, because you might be asking God to do something that's against his will. You see? So in counseling people, you know, first, are you within the will of God? Are you doing what God says for everyone to do? Now, if that's not the case, let's get back to the right way of believing. Then the help comes easy. You know, if a person's willing to do the will of God, if someone says, well, I want to be doing the will of God, but not in this area, because this is my life and this is what I've chosen to do, well, I can't help you until you do what the Word of God says. once you're doing what the Word of God says, then we not only have all the scriptures that pertain to a lot of topics, but we also have the Spirit of God. You know, where that person can receive help from God directly or by way of another believer to give that person counsel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It gives an example of some people that were believers, that were born again, but were, you know, they weren't trying to do the will of God. First Corinthians 6 will pick up, and it's about believers suing each other in court. Each one thinking they're right, and the other one's wrong. And we'll pick it up in verse 6. It says, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." So here's you, a believer, and there's another believer, and you're suing each other, taking each other to court, before an unbelieving judge. It says, what's wrong with this picture? Everything. Everything's wrong with this picture. You know, and each one is a believer, so they might be praying for God to help them win their case. Mm-hmm. Right? Help me win this fight against this stupid jerk. I know he's a believer, but still he's... Help me put this guy in his place and show him what a jerk he is. Is God going to answer that prayer if he loves them both? Here's the advice of God. We'll keep reading. Verse 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. And the you is plural. Okay, anytime you see you in the Bible, it's always more than one. If it's only one, it's the. Now there is utterly a fault among you, or if you're from New York, yous. Both of you, you're wrong. Because ye, both of you, go to law one with another. You're both wrong. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? That's the advice. If there's a legal dispute, what should you do? You can't help what the other person does, right? If they want to take you to court and they want to defraud you, it says, let yourself be defrauded. That would be the better thing to do than to try to defraud the other one. Let yourself be defrauded. God will take care of you. Right? You don't have to fight the fight and just stand up for your rights no matter what and at the expense of the other person. You know, let yourself be defrauded. That's the advice of God. Verse 8 says, nay, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren, your brothers. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And now he's talking not about the other believer, he's talking about the judge that you're going before. The unrighteous, then believers, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's a homosexual, neither thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he's telling them that you, among you, were some in these categories here. You were unrighteous, right? You were. Is he condemning them at this point for having done those things in the past? Absolutely not. He's saying you're washed and you're cleansed from those things. But say a person wanted to continue in one of those activities. You know, I want to continue extorting people. That's bullying them and having them pay you money so that you don't hurt them. Is God going to help a person to do that? And to do it better? To do it more effectively? To make more money from extorting other people? Is it going to help a thief to steal and to get away with, you know, stealing? Is he going to help someone who's, you know, in a relationship outside of marriage, he's not going to do that. But here's what he might tell him. Let's read on, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot, a prostitute? God forbid. And, it was probably just part of the culture. You go, married or not, you go to a prostitute. And for some people, that's just part of their culture. This is the way of things. And the more the better. But as a believer, no. It says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. So a person's goal might be, okay, I want to have more sex outside of marriage. And you look around you, and that's a pretty common goal among people, right? More is better. And they would love to have wisdom as far as how to get more of it. But the advice of God is flee fornication. Run away from it. That's the advice of God. So he's not going to help a person, get laid. whatever. He's not going to offer help. The help he's offering is to flee it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body, and this, again, it's you, it's plural, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God. I think in your spirit is not in the text, but glorify God in your body. That's what we should do. That's what we can counsel people to do. If they don't want to hear that advice, then you just can't help them. It doesn't say you have to stop everybody from doing what's wrong. But if someone wants counsel of God, first do what everyone is supposed to be doing according to the will of God, believing in Jesus Christ, walking in love one towards another, doing what's clear and declared to be the will of God for all people. Then, once you're doing that, the wisdom of God comes easy. First, get on the right path, and then God can help you move along that path efficiently and effectively. If you're on the wrong path, the only help God can give is to get you back on the right path. He's not going to help you farther along in the wrong path. He wants you to be on the right one. So, if a person is willing to do the will of God, then go to James chapter 1. Now, what if a person is just confused? They want to do the will of God, but they've already made choices, they've already made decisions, or they just have feelings that lead them a certain way. Or something seems to be working better. Some people judge whether they're on the right path or not based on how they feel and how well it seems to be going. Right? Remember when I was in college, I witnessed to this girl who was at a class on, in the theater department on stage movement. And I invited her to a fellowship. She said, I'm an exotic dancer. I work at this, bar. And that's how I'm paying my way through college. And that was the choice that she had made. She never came to the Bible fellowship. She didn't want to because She said, I don't think I could be honest and go to a Bible fellowship and do what I'm doing. But rather than make the choice to walk with God, she made the choice to go the way that she thought was the only way she could pay her way through school. So what do you do with a person like that? You pray for them, but, you know, well, you can't stop everyone from doing what's wrong. We're supposed to be witnesses for God, right? Not the judge, not the jury, not the police. We're witnesses. We testify to the truth. Then it's up to them, right? They have their own free will. We don't enforce what people do. We don't even have to give them all the arguments like a good lawyer. We just witness. Just witness. Just speak the truth that as you know it. Declare what you have seen and heard from the Word of God and from God Himself. You're a witness. You know? But witness the truth. You don't change your testimony based on the person that you're talking with. You don't have to say, look, that's all right. If they've made a wrong life choice, you can say, this is what the Word of God says to do. Then it's up to them. Because you don't want to tell someone that they're okay when they're not okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if you say nothing, that's one way to handle it. But ask God what to do. You know, because as far as advice goes, there's two good times to give advice. One is when people ask for it. And the other is when God tells you to say something. If it's just you see something and you say, I just have to speak up, it's not always going to work, because what you think you're perceiving might not be accurate facts. You know, you might see someone that's a little, you know, effeminate and assume that they're a homosexual, and they might not be. You know, and then you don't want to be preaching against the sins of homosexuality against that person, you know. On the other hand, there could be stuff going on that you have no idea, but God can show you, or the person might tell you. But you don't want to go giving advice where it doesn't fit, because that could actually harm a person. No. So be careful in the advice that you give. But if they ask for it, then according to the Word of God. If God tells you specifically and clearly, then do whatever God tells you. And then, if you're giving someone the Word of God, it will be the right thing. Now, a person can then say, okay, I'm going to go God's way, and run into difficulty. Right? Can that happen? Mm-hmm. Sure. Have you ever run into difficulty when you're doing what's right? Yeah, like most of the time. Why? Because we have an adversary. Mm-hmm. Because we live in a world that the adversary has, you know, engineered things to make it harder for people to do what's right before God, right? So what do you do? Well, James says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So if you are actually believing the Word of God and doing the will of God, don't worry about it if you're put to the test by the circumstances of life or other people around you. Count it all joy. As long as you are actually doing the will of God. Okay? Which you can know from the Word of God. God doesn't hide His will from people. He's already made it plain. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Let it complete the job. Mm. Means don't give up too soon. Don't change what you're doing if what you're doing is right to start with. Don't assume that you're doing something wrong because bad things are happening. Because that's not the test. The test is the words of God. That tells you whether you're right or not. So you let patience have the perfect work. Continue to do what the Word of God says until you'll see the end of the situation through. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, and why would you lack wisdom? Well, maybe there's something in the Word of God that you haven't seen, or maybe you're doing everything the Word of God says to do, in general, to everyone, but you don't know what to do in the specific. Then what do? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally. He's going to give to all liberally. He's already given everyone that can read his word, right? That's very liberal. This is like riches, right in this book here. He can also tell a person that's doing his will what to do next. He can tell a person that's not doing his will what to do. Get back to the right path. Reproof and correction. You see? Then it's a matter of, will that person accept it? Okay? That's why it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you ask God, it shall be given. There's a promise right there. It doesn't say it might. It shall be given. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. It means you're believing. Believing the written word of God that you already have, and then believing what God tells you, and standing upon it. Without wavering, without doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Once you know the will of God, you know, a person still might be confused. But I want to do this. This is what I'm trying to do. God's saying go this way, but I want to go this way. You know? God says this, but I don't see anything in the senses world that backs that up. God says this is true, but I don't see anything that helps me. Well, if God says it, that's what helps you. That's really all the help that you need. If you clearly know what the will of God is, that's all you need. And if that's all you have, that's everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything. So be single-minded on the will of God. If you're wavering, then it's between the will of God and something else. Well, just get focused on the one thing, the will of God. Don't be like a wave of the sea. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Again, God still gives the wisdom, but a person might not be able to receive it. It's still given, but might not be able to be received, right? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, so get back to being single-minded. Do the will of God that you know, according to the Word of God. Ask God when you need help, when you lack wisdom, when you don't know what to do, and then when you get your answer, stand upon that no matter what. You might still be tested and tried. Not by God, but by the circumstances that surround you or the people that surround you. We're always aware that there's an adversary trying intentionally to mess us up. Okay? So we don't let the circumstances sway us if we have the Word of God. Always go by the Word of God. And if you're not sure what the Word of God says, study it. Read it. You know, if you don't understand it, ask. Ask God to help you apply the keys that you've been taught, how the Word interprets itself. Ask another believer, you know, that you trust. And get to the Word of God. The Word of God will give you the will of God. And when you're doing the will of God, then you're on that right path, and God can make your path straight. He can prosper you in the thing that you're doing. Okay? Life choices. Amen.
Did you record that?
Actually.
I need a copy of that.
Okay.